It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Bob Powell. West Virginia might be a stranger to blue water, but that doesn't mean you can't scuba dive.
So you see a lot of fish, a lot of structure. There is places where you can swim underneath of fallen rocks. It's almost like flying.
That story is coming up in a few moments. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced a proposal to tighten the rules on who qualifies for food stamps through the SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The department estimates more than 3 million people across the country would lose SNAP benefits in an effort to prevent fraud. Liam Niemeyer of the Ohio Valley Resource reports anti-hunger advocates in the Ohio Valley say more than 2 million people in the region who use the benefits would be impacted.
The USDA wants to change what they call broad-based categorical eligibility in the SNAP program. The regulation allows people that don't have a low enough income to qualify for food stamps to get them in other ways. People can also qualify if they receive assistance from other federal programs. Cynthia Curthart runs the Facing Hunger Food Bank in Huntington, West Virginia. She says most of the 116,000 people she serves gets food stamps through the rule.
89% of the people that we serve are what you would refer to as working poor families. So those are folks that are working one or more jobs in order to try and make a living.
The USDA wants to tighten these eligibility rules in an effort to prevent abuse of SNAP and save billions of dollars. But Kirkhart says if people are made ineligible, families would have to spend money on food that would normally go to pay bills.
They can't pay for, you know, rent or their utilities or fuel for their cars to get to their jobs.
The Kentucky Division of Family Support manages SNAP eligibility in the state. Former Director Jason Dunn is now a policy analyst with advocacy group Kentucky Voices for Health. He says without categorical eligibility, it takes time to determine if someone's income is low enough for food stamps.
When you add up doing that for hundreds of thousands of cases, it really adds up in time and effort on the state's part.
Dunn says that added wait time could fall back on families who need SNAP. The proposed rule is open to public comments for the next 2 months. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
About 40% of veterans who receive medical care through the Veterans Health Administration are now covered at urgent care clinics. This expansion of benefits for veterans is part of the Mission Act, which went into effect last month. Roxy Todd reports.
Veterans with a service-connected disability used to have to pay out of pocket if they went to an urgent care facility. Now, if veterans have been waiting for care for a long time, or if they live far from a VA hospital, they can receive care through private doctors in their local community. James McCormick is a veteran in West Virginia, and he's recently been named the National Junior Vice Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. He says the new expansion of benefits could have an especially big impact for veterans in the Mountain State.
In an area that's rural, you know, where the distance to the VA is often, you know, 100 miles or more, this is actually a really good thing.
But he says not many veterans he's spoken to are aware that they can now use their VA benefits to go to urgent cares.
Not all of them know about that. And to be honest with you, very few in the mainstream know about it.
According to a press release from the Beckley VA Medical Center, the new urgent care benefit is meant to give veterans, quote, a convenient way to get treatment for minor injuries and illnesses such as colds, strep throat, and pink eye, end quote. McCormick says that while this new benefit is very helpful, he hopes it doesn't lead to a funding reduction or loss of resources for the VA health system.
We definitely don't want that to distract or take away from funding and the support of the VA medical system that we have in place. It's very important for us as veterans to have that.
McCormick says that overall, he's been happy with the care he's received through the VA. He suffers from chronic pain, a result of multiple gunshot wounds he received while in Iraq. And when he decided to get away from taking opioids, he was able to treat his pain with a specialized alternative type of pain management therapy at the Huntington VA. These types of innovative alternative therapies are what he hopes the VA will continue to put resources into in the future, as well as increase access to local care, so veterans aren't having to wait to receive medical care.
So that's why I was real excited to see this, you know, giving them access to an urgent care system, a local doctor, someone that they could go to and get assistance right away. I think that's a good step in the right direction, but we still have a few more steps we have to take.
Although the VA Mission Act passed through Congress with bipartisan support, some Democratic lawmakers say they hope it won't set a precedent for more privatization of the VA medical system. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
Pennsylvania's Public Utility Commission is fighting to keep some information private about what would happen if a Mariner East pipeline explodes. The commission's asking Commonwealth Court to overturn a ruling by the state's Open Records Office that some records should be public. Eric Friedman, who lives near the pipeline, asked the commission for the information. He says it should be public what the commission knows about the potential blast radius around Sunco's pipelines, which carry highly volatile natural gas liquids.
It seems to us that the likelihood of an accident is way too high. And, you know, speaking for myself, that's not really something that I want to have to live with every day. I don't feel like I should be forced to live with that.
The PUC declined to comment on the Open Records case. The Mariner East project runs from western Pennsylvania near West Virginia on its way east to an export terminal near Philadelphia. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. It's 7:50. Partly sunny today with a chance of scattered rain showers. Afternoon thunderstorms in the mountains could produce some heavy downpours. Highs will be in the 80s. Cloudy with rain showers possible and lows in the 60s. And mostly cloudy and hot tomorrow with a chance of rain possible and continuing through the weekend. Support for the weather is provided by Jaeger Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. Scuba diving and West Virginia are not often used in the same sentence, but Eric Douglas is a scuba diver, and he brings us this next story from Somersville Lake in Nicholas County, West Virginia.
Walking to the edge of Somersville Lake on a Saturday morning, the lake is pristine and calm. Most of the boaters haven't made it out on the water yet, so the lake is quiet. However, this story isn't about what's on the surface of the water, but what's beneath. My visit to the lake begins with an unexpected reunion with an old diving buddy, Ed Skaggs.
I used to spend so much time here at Somersville, whether it was just pleasure diving or as an instructor teaching students.
Ed used to be my diving instructor. When I head to the lake to make a dive and interview other divers for this story, I'm surprised to see him pull up in the parking lot. I haven't seen him in nearly 20 years, and he hasn't been diving in the lake in nearly 10 years himself.
Just life has gotten in the way, and it feels good to be back up here again.
I made my first dives in Somersville Lake in the summer of 1990 and completed more than 60 dives there before making it to the ocean. My diver certification led to diving opportunities around the world. After catching up a bit, Ed invites me to make a dive with him. After gearing up, we wade into the water. Descending, the water closes over your head and you feel weightless, or at least as close to it as we can get on Earth. It's easy to imagine yourself flying like a superhero. As we swim, we encounter fish, rock structure from the original hillsides of the valley before the lake, submerged trees and stumps. Everything looks brown or light green. For the first 25 feet or so, the water is warm and clear. Looking to my left, the water gets deeper and darker. I've been down here before, and there's nothing scary about it, but it does look ominous. After about 45 minutes exploring the area, we make our way back to the surface. It may come as a surprise that a lake known for fishing, camping, and boating is also a favorite destination for divers. They come to the lake to take classes, practice their diving skills, and just have fun in the water. Bob Sharp, a dive instructor from Charleston, has been diving the lake for more than 30 years.
So tell me what diving in Summersville is like for you.
Well, for me, growing up watching diving on some of the TV shows and things as a young person, it was just opened up a whole new world underwater, you know, all the rock formations and the fish. And when you got your landlocked sort of, you know, we don't have an ocean around us. This is West Virginia's ocean right here at Summersville Lake.
A group of divers from North Central West Virginia is also visiting the lake. Scott Peterson is wearing his wetsuit and putting his gear together for the upcoming dive as we talk.
What brings you down here to Summersville to dive?
As far as I know, it's the best freshwater diving in the area for visibility and water, and a nice spot to do it here where you can get close to the water.
You're obviously a certified diver, so you're not training today, but you still come back to dive here.
Yeah, we come back in the summer, try to do 3 trips in the winter, whatever, to nice places in the Caribbean, but this is just fun diving, and you're always training and practicing.
Scuba diving isn't something you learn once and then forget about. To stay safe, you need to practice those skills regularly, says John Clemens.
Tell me what brings you down here to Summersville Lake.
Going to Summersville is a good place to practice your skills in a safe environment to prepare you, so when you go out on a nice trip somewhere to Cozumel or Jamaica or something like that, that you're proficient and you're safe and you get to focus on having a good time.
Shake off the rust a little bit.
To keep the rust off, you have to dive, I think it's every 6 months or so. You have to keep fairly current to keep your skill set so that you'll be comfortable whenever you get out in salt water.
The reason Cecilia Peterson likes to come to the lake is a little more basic. She just enjoys it.
What do you like best about diving down here?
Oh, I just think it's, I don't know, the water's clear. You can see, I mean, just, it's peaceful, it's pretty, and just a nice day to, you know, spend the day out here. But it's nice just to come out here.
And nobody can reach you underwater. The cell phone doesn't work.
No, it's nice and quiet and peaceful.
Likely the most common question divers hear as they exit the water is, what do you see down there? Or what is it like? Like everything else, the answer is different depending on who you ask. For Ed Skaggs, it is a particular place and the feeling he gets from it.
What's your favorite spot up here?
Well, it would be Long Point.
Long Point is an elbow in the lake that is only accessible by boat. Since there aren't any shallow areas nearby, the water remains clear. It is one of my favorites as well.
There's so much cover for fish, so you see a lot of fish, a lot of structure. There is places where you can swim underneath of fallen rocks. It's almost like flying.
Bob Sharp's favorite spot is easier to get to. It's a place near the dam where Christmas trees are sunk for fish habitat.
We also have a place where I call it the Christmas tree forest. You got a lot of juvenile fish over here, and so you can go over there and see quail fish.
A big part of diving is what you do between dives. It's called a surface interval in diving terms. You talk about diving and what you saw, but there's also a shared community among divers. Bob Sharp enjoys that aspect of diving as well.
Like I did when I got here, and say, where are y'all from? And how's the water? And, you know, so you can talk about that. And then if you have a problem, you work with each other. And that's what I really appreciate about people from West Virginia in general, is they're welcoming and they're willing to help each other out if there's a problem, or just, you know, socialize a little bit.
Years ago, a diving magazine referred to Summersville Lake as the Bahamas of the Appalachians. Most divers simply chuckle about that and wish they were in the Bahamas. But it does make for a nice dive when you want to get underwater or hang out between dives for your surface interval. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Summersville, West Virginia.
That was Inside Appalachia's associate producer Eric Douglas reporting on and under one of the most beautiful lakes in our Appalachian Mountains. Check out our website wvpublic.org to see a short video Eric shot while he was on the dive. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up to date with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell.